going to go sit by my hummingbird feeder and give you a hummingbird report. This is Saturday, the 28th of August. We actually have still a large number of hummingbirds coming to our feeder. We also still have at least one male hummingbird that is an adult male with a bright gorgette. Adult males, the ones with a bright throat, do leave first. They'll disappear. And what we've got left are females and young birds. Some of them are also young males. And you can start to tell some of the young males now because they'll get a little spot or two of red on their throat, just the beginnings of their gorgettes. And you'll also notice that all of these younger birds and the females have a little white on their tail. When they're hovering, you can see that white at the tips of the feathers of their tail. Now, the only kind of hummingbird we have in northern Minnesota, the only breeding hummingbird, is the ruby-throated hummingbird. So that's what you're seeing. There have been two other species documented in the county, and that's just records where they just came, stayed for a while, and then were never seen again. They're not a breeding population. And one of them was quite a few years ago, and it was first actually recognized as being something different by Peggy Heston. She didn't really know what it was, but called us up and said, boy, you know, she kept saying to me, Molly, there's a kind of a large hummingbird coming to a feeder. It's late in the fall, and it was kind of odd even to have any hummingbird still coming to a feeder. But, you know, Peggy watches wildlife, so I kind of trusted she had something going there that was different. And Ken and I went, and we, too, were in agreement with her. This was a larger hummingbird, and it had part of a gorget. Not a full gorget, but just part, you know, some markings on the throat of color. And the color was not the reddish, orangish that we see with the ruby-throated hummingbird. It was a little bit different tone. It had a little more purple, a little more violet in it. So we knew we had something different. It turned out to be a female, an adult female Anna's hummingbird. And it stayed until the weather finally got too cold, and then I'm sure it perished. Unfortunately, it just did not come one morning to the feeder. So that was an Anna's hummingbird, and it was the first record of such a bird in Minnesota. So it was kind of a special thing. The other different species of hummingbird that's shown up in the county has been a rufous hummingbird. It was a beautiful adult male. And they're real, when they say rufous, they mean rufous. There's just this wonderful rusty orange color all over the plumage, and the gorget, that colored spot, is also very orangey. It's really again, hummingbirds are such gems anyway. I don't know if I can say one is prettier than the other. They're all very beautiful, but this was a very different bird too, and again, not a first record in the county. There had been a record from Lutzen, and I think maybe another one too, but a different bird. So the rufous hummingbird and the Anna's hummingbird. Ruby hummingbirds are tough little northern hummingbirds. They do an amazing job of keeping themselves alive. It was not too long ago that they sort of discovered that when they looked at breeding birds and they looked at maps of where these breeding birds were, that there's another bird that actually breeds up here, and it's a yellow-bellied sapsucker, which is a kind of woodpecker, and that remarkably the range map for the ruby-throated hummingbird in the northern part of its range seems to coincide with the yellow-bellied sapsucker. The habit of yellow-bellied sapsuckers in the spring is to poke holes in trees, which makes the sap run, and then they visit it. Sapsuckers, that's the name. And also that sap attracts insects, and they visit the sap holes to eat insects as well. Well, that's what a ruby-throated hummingbird needs when it comes back in the spring, because there are often not many flowers blooming, not many nectar sources for them to use. And they also then can use these sapsucker holes, so it's kind of an interesting relationship. These little northern birds, northern hummingbirds, have this, you might say, ally in survival in the spring, and they have these sapsuckers making holes in trees. So their ranges do overlap in the northern parts of the range of the ruby-throated hummingbird. This is Molly Hoffman by a hummingbird feeder in my own yard with field notes.